I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and then verses 36 to 43. You also notice in your bulletin the outline of the message this morning. The parable of the wheat and tares. From Matthew 13, 24 to 30, and then 36 to 43. Hear now the word of God. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" Verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And the disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Why, Mommy? Why, Daddy? You as parents ever hear those words from your children? You children ever ask your parents these questions? Why do I have to do this or that? Why do I have to go there? Why, teacher? Sometimes students ask their teachers why we have to do a certain homework or why we have to read this paragraph or this chapter. Questions commonly asked by children to those who are in authority. Why? Well, Jesus' disciples asked the same question, verse 10 of this chapter. Why? Why do you speak to them in parables? The them refers to the crowds which had gathered around Jesus to hear him speak. You see, Jesus had changed his teaching style. He had been very forthright and very plain. But now he's changed to giving parables. So the question is, why? Why, Jesus? Why do you tell stories? Why do you give these parables? Well, in teaching through the parables, Jesus teaches about the nature of the kingdom and the marks of the kingdom and the consummation of the kingdom. You can divide the parables into these three categories, really. As the nature of the kingdom, the marks of the kingdom, and the consummation of the kingdom. And Jesus uses parables in order that the truth might at the same time be revealed and concealed. Let me explain that. Those who were interested in things of God would want explanations. Jesus would give a parable. And so those who really wanted to know more about God's kingdom would then ask him, explain to us what you meant by this. Those who would hear Jesus speak in parables, who could care less really about spiritual things, might say, oh, that's a nice story. And off they go. And so Jesus, by speaking through parables, would reveal his truth, and some would want to know more, such as his disciples. Others simply could care less and go off their way. And so what Jesus is doing through the parables really is four things. He's first of all separating believers from non-believers. Secondly, he's increasing accountability. He says, this is what you are to do. Thirdly, he reminds the people of their privileges. Here is where you are. Here is what you have in God's grace. And then fourthly, he would call people to faith through these parables. The parable of the wheat and tares really does all these things. And so this morning, the question you need to answer is this. Are you wheat or are you tare? Are you wheat or are you tare? According to this parable, you must be one or the other. So take a look with me at the story, at the representations, and then the applications. In verses 24 through 30, we have the parable itself. Jesus talks about a farmer. A farmer who goes out one day to sow wheat in his field. Now, this farmer doesn't do it by modern machinery. Spending 12 years in Iowa, I was able to see many farmers go out in their big machines and sow acres and acres and acres of field of wheat. But the farmer here in Jesus' day would go out by hand, throwing out the seed. As he would walk for hours and hours and hours, he would go and he would sow this seed across his field. And all the seed that the farmer throws out really is good seed. There's not a single bad seed there in the batch. So the farmer, after a long day of going and sowing the seed through the field, naturally he's tired, so he goes home at night for a good night's sleep. But while he sleeps, the enemy comes. The enemy comes and sows bad seed, or tares, or as the Greek says, darnel, D-A-R-N-E-L, in the field. And what this enemy has done will not be known for some time. Time passes, the field brings forth plants, and from the beginning, all the plants look pretty good. They're of uniform size, of uniform shape, of uniform color, and in time, the wheat bears grain. But there's a problem. Some of the plants in the field are just sitting there, doing nothing, not bearing any grain whatsoever. Some plants are in this field simply taking up room and taking up moisture in the field that is reserved for the wheat. There are weeds in the wheat. And weeds in the wheat is not a good thing. And at first it wasn't even detected. It wasn't even detected as the weeds would grow alongside of the wheat until the grain started to appear. And once the grain started to appear, there was something strange and something odd about some of these plants in the field. They're doing nothing. They're bearing no grain. And so it was only then discovered that an enemy had come and planted the tares in the wheat field. Now, when the polluting weed was found in the field, the workers naturally wanted to know, well, should we go in the field and pull up the weeds? You would think they should. You would think, well, there's weeds in the field, so we go in, simply pull up the weeds, don't we? The farmer tells them, don't do that. Because if you do that, then some of the wheat will be destroyed as well. Wait until the harvest, and then it'll all be separated out. Sort of like weeds in the potato patch. I grew up in a small farm in East Tennessee. And One of my jobs was to make sure to keep the weeds out of the potato patch. It was a fairly simple thing to do, as long as the weeds were small. But if you wait for a few days, 3 or 4 or 5 days or whatever, especially after quite a bit of moisture had fallen, and you don't go out there and you don't weed the potato patch, guess what? The weeds have gotten larger than the potato stalks or the potato vines. And if you wait too long, you run the risk of pulling the weeds and pulling the potatoes out as well. And so the farmer tells his workers, no, don't go and pull out the weeds, because if you do, you will destroy the wheat along with it. Wait until the harvest time, then the tares or the weeds will be dealt with. Now, Jesus in his parables often used stories which were commonplace. He would use examples in which the people understood. And this parable of the wheat and tares, interestingly enough, tells us what some people in his day actually did. Apparently there were people who, purely out of malice, would go into farmers' fields and plant weeds. And so the people to whom Jesus was speaking knew exactly what he was talking about. They talked about planting the wheat and the weeds popping up as well. But what's his point? What's Jesus' point in telling this parable, telling this story? And this is what we want to look at as we look at verses 36 through 43. In these verses, Jesus gives us the explanation. But first of all, we must look at the representation. One thing we have to be careful of in parables is to make sure that we don't take every single detail and turn it into something. Sometimes Jesus uses details in order to fully expand upon the story and make the story full. But there are a number of things here that Jesus said in his parable which do represent something very significant. We start with the sower. In verses 36 and 37, Jesus explains to us who the sower is. Now, in keeping with one of the purposes of the parables, to really show a division between those who want to know more about the kingdom of God and those who really don't care, look at what the disciples said to Jesus in verse 36. The disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. They wanted to know more. They wanted to hear the teaching of Jesus. They wanted to know more about God's kingdom. And so Jesus then explains the parable to them. And explaining the parable to them, Jesus first describes the sower. And as he describes the sower, he identifies the sower with himself, the Son of Man. And while in the parable of the sower in a different parable, the sower there is used to proclaim the counsel of God. That's not the case here. Because here we have Christ himself being the sower. Christ himself is the one who goes out into the field. Christ himself is the one who plants the good seed. But what is the good seed? Well, that's clearly spelled out for us as well in verse 38. As Jesus tells us that the good seed represents the sons of God's kingdom. The seed in this parable is not the word of God, like in one of the other parables of the sower, but the seed here in this parable represents indeed the people of God. You see, God has been setting apart people for himself ever since the beginning, ever since the day of creation. He continues to do so today. God calls people into his kingdom. God plants people into his kingdom. He plants the seed, and God brings up and raises his people. Has he called you into his kingdom? Can you be considered a good seed? Are you wheat this morning? Are you a stalk of grain? Are you wheat? Are you the good seed? Because if you're not, then you're the bad seed. That's the third thing we look at here in Jesus' parable. The bad seed. And just as clearly as Jesus identifies the good seed, the same verse in verse 38, he identifies the bad seed. He refers to the bad seed as the tares or the darnel or as the sons of the wicked one, Satan himself. It's interesting that while the tares resemble the wheat at times, and for a long time, and in many ways, the wheat and the tares resemble each other, the fact remains that tares are tares and wheat is wheat. The fact remains that, yes, there are good seeds there in the field, but there are weeds there as well. In 1 John 3:10, John writes of being either the children of God or the children of the devil. It has to be one or the other. Again, this morning, are you wheat or tare? Are you good seed or bad seed? But then we also take note of where this seed is planted. And I take great encouragement in this. We see that the seed is planted in the field. We back up to the first part of verse 38. And we see what makes up the field, and we discover that it is the world. In particular, parts of the world where Christ has established His church. And throughout the world, in different nations, Christ has His church, but also we must understand that the enemy has his gatherings as well. We see that in verse 39. And one thing that we must keep before us is that not only is the church Christ's church, but the world belongs to Christ as well, in that Christ rules not only over the church, but over all things. That Christ is head and king over all nations, not just in the future, but now. That's why in this context, maybe you didn't notice it, but back in verse 24, as Jesus was telling the story, notice here, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. In his field. The earth belongeth to the Lord and all that it contains. All power and all authority has already been given to Jesus in heaven upon earth. However, this does not mean that life is easy for the believer, because we have the enemy with which we must contend. We have the Son of God planting the good seed in the field, which is the world. We have the good seed coming up, which we are a part of here this morning. But yet also you will notice that the enemy has come in, and the enemy has planted the weeds as well. In the parable that Jesus gives us, the sower sleeps, and there's nothing wrong with the sower sleeping. He's tired after a long day, and especially seeing that the sower here is the Son of Man, he sleeps, he rests. And as he does, weeds are sown in the field. And in verse 39, Jesus says, the enemy who sows them in the field is the devil. Jesus leaves us no guesswork as to who the enemy is, who comes during the night and plants the seeds. He's identified here as the devil, the adversary, the power, prince of the power of the air. He's identified elsewhere as the roaring lion, as Satan, as the ruler of darkness, as the tempter. Satan sowed the seeds. And he sowed the seeds out of malice. But his end, and the end of all who follow him, is coming. And this is the last representation we look at. We're in verses 39 to 43. Jesus speaks about the end of the age and the reapers. A farmer plants his field in order to one day reap a harvest. I don't know of farmers who spend money and who spend time and energy going out into the field saying, well, it's just something I feel like doing today for a hobby. And so they spend all their money and they use, buy all this equipment and go and do this. It's a livelihood for them. It's an important part of their life. And they expect to one day reap a harvest. Well, Christ has done this as well. He has planted seed, and one day He will reap the harvest. At the end of the age, at His coming, at the end of the world, at the judgment day, the harvest will be brought in. At that time, Christ will send His angels, the reapers, out into the field of the world and gather in the crop He has planted. And we look forward to that day. But note that at the same time, the tares will be gathered, bundled, and burned. At the final judgment of God, the separation will take place. Peoples and nations will be judged according to their deeds. All that offend and all who practice lawlessness, Jesus says, will be brought into judgment. Judgment will be rendered and time will be served for all eternity. So these are the representations in the parable that Jesus gives us on the wheat and the tares. So what? Is it just a good story? Is it something that entertains us? I'm sure there were people who heard His parable who walked away and saying, that's nice. But Jesus has some lessons for us here in this parable. First thing, what this parable is not about. And there's one point here. What this parable is not about. This parable does not speak against church discipline. When in this parable the workers ask the landowner if they should go and pull the weeds, and he tells them no. This is not to say that church discipline is to be avoided. Remember, the field is not the church in this parable, but it's the world. And how the church is in the midst of the world. Jesus talks elsewhere of the importance of church discipline. We have other instructions and examples of it in the New Testament as well. So don't take this parable then to teach that Jesus is speaking against church discipline, because that is not the topic. That's not the reason for the parable. So what is the reason for it? Why does Jesus give us this parable of the wheat and tares? Well, the main purpose of this parable is to remind us that we do and can expect to have conflicts as wheat. That as the sons of the kingdom of God, with the tares, the sons of the devil, there will be conflict. In the world which is the field, there are and there will continue to be good and bad, Christian and non-Christian, true and false churches, churches of God and churches of Satan, true prophets, false prophets, in the sense of proclamation of either all-out lies or a mixture of truth and error. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this passage, says, where the kingdom of God is most active, there the evil one will be doing his utmost to defeat the purposes of God. End of the quote. Where the kingdom of God is most active, there the evil one will be doing his utmost to defeat the purposes of God. The problem here is not with the unplanted field, but the problem is with the field that has been planted. And take courage that even in the midst of wickedness, even though wickedness continues to grow, so the church grows as well. This is illustrated here by Jesus' parable. If you look back to the passage we did not read, you'll notice the in-between giving the parable itself and the explanation of the parable, Jesus inserts another parable. The parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. And as this parable is inserted between the parable itself and the explanation of the wheat and tares, you will notice that in giving that parable of the mustard seed and the leaven, that Jesus is explaining to us and encouraging us in knowing that the church will grow outwardly, as does the mustard seed, but also will grow inwardly, as does leaven. And so the church will grow, the church will continue to flourish, the wheat field will grow, grain will be produced. It'll be a flourishing, wonderful thing to see as God plants His church and continues to cause His church to thrive. But also know that with that growth, there will be conflict. Alongside that growth, there will be weeds. There will be tares. Are you, as a church, as members of this particular body, involved in or ready for conflict? Not from within. Hopefully not from within. But are you ready for conflict from the outside? The weeds are all around us. The weeds are trying to choke us out. The temptations are out there to take us away from the things of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Keeping in mind that yes, as the weeds grow, and yes, as there are conflicts, keep in mind that Christ also is growing His church as well. So that's the first lesson we learn. That yes, though we are in God's kingdom, though we are His people, we can expect conflict from the weeds that are around us. Another lesson we learn from the parable is that we are not to waste our time trying to get out, or as the Greek says in verse 29, root out the weeds. We identify sons of the wicked one by their words and by their actions. We know what's going on around us in the world. We know how the world fights against us. We know how the world fights against King Jesus. And we speak out when a wrong is being committed. We do that as Christians. We stand up for what is right. We stand up for God and for His Word. We don't compromise on that. But I wonder, do we spend enough time proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through positive word and deed? I have known through my Christian experience, not only as a Christian but as a pastor, I've experienced Christians who are very well-meaning, and yet they seem to spend so much of their time attacking other people and other groups when they could be using that time simply telling what Jesus Christ has done for them. Spending that time to share the gospel, to share the good news that Jesus saves. As I was looking over our RP testimony, it's interesting in verse 25 of the chapter entitled The Church, we read a lot of positive things that we are to be doing as a church. Let me read that for you. It is the mission of the church to preserve, maintain, and proclaim to the whole world the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God. Together into her fellowship, those of every race and people who accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and promise obedience to Him, to build them up in the most holy faith and to train them to be witnesses for Christ in all of His offices, to maintain the ordinances of divine worship in their purity. And then there's one phrase in here, witness against all evil. And in every way to seek the advancement of God's kingdom on earth, end of the quote. It's a positive thing that we are to be doing as a church, that we are to be given the positive message of salvation in Christ. That yes, we are to witness against evil, but that is not to be our main focus. Our main focus is to promote Jesus Christ and salvation through Him and His church. It's not an easy task, but it's the calling of the church. It's your calling, it's my calling, it's our calling together in the world around us, despite the weeds which grow alongside of us. Yes, we are to call wrong sin. Yes, we are to advance God's kingdom by living in purity and peace. But let's make sure that we spend our time telling of the good news of Christ and warning people of the judgment that is to come. And that's the final application here this morning, number four. Number one, this does not speak against church discipline. Number two, it doesn't remind us of our conflicts as wheat and tares. Number three, is to show that we are to present the positive message of salvation in Christ. But number four, we learn from this parable the final judgment. The final judgment which will come for all people. Folks, harvest day is coming. It's a sure thing. We don't know when it is. We don't know when it will come, exactly how it will come. But in this parable, Jesus mentions two groups, the tares and the wheat. The tares or the weeds, and according to what Jesus says, we gathered up, bundled, and burned with fire. I can imagine in my mind, and it's a daunting thing. I can imagine on Judgment Day, a bundle of atheists over here, a bundle of persecutors of the faith over here, a bundle of hypocrites back here, and the list goes on. Those who deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have no part in God's kingdom. And Jesus says, for these people, their punishment will be relentless torment. Forever and ever. Relentless torment in a place where there will be endless weeping and gnashing of teeth. Death is not an annihilation, as some suppose. Some believe, hey, you die and you just die. That's all there is to it. Just like an animal dies, you throw them in the grave and that's the end. No. Pure hell. Pure hell, which can be defined in several ways, but one way is defined as that of being away from the presence of God forever, is coming for those who do not acknowledge Christ. Can you imagine, as bad as things are around us, as many horrible things we read about and see happening in our world, can you imagine how horrible an existence it would be where God is not? Can you imagine a life of total separation from God? Can you imagine such a place? And yet Jesus says, this is the judgment that's awaiting the weeds and the tares. Then on the other hand, the wheat will be gathered. And as the precious wheat will be gathered together into everlasting security, to be gathered together so that there be no more exposure to the wind or the weather or the choking of the weeds, the wheat will be gathered together and be sifted even of its own corruptions. As the wheat will be gathered together, no longer scattered, no longer exposed to sin, no longer having to fight sin, but will be gathered together as the wheat, enjoying the perfection in our Lord. Our sanctification will be complete. And then as Jesus says, we shall shine forth as the sun, being made like Christ's glorious body, and shining by His reflection. Our sanctification will be complete. It'll be over. The harvest will be gathered in. This should serve, I trust, this morning as an encouragement to us. There are times that you are going to have personal struggles. You're going to have struggles as individuals. You're going to have struggles as a congregation. You're going to have struggles with the weeds that are around you. And hopefully not within you. But be assured that even though the weeds grow, and they will until the harvest time comes, be assured that our strength is in the Lord, that He will preserve His church, that He will uphold His church. As we look to Him, we find our growth in Him, our encouragement in Him. Yes, there may be times, will be times of struggle, but keep also in mind that the harvest will come. what is the conclusion then to all this? What is the end result of all this? What do we do with this? Look at the last nine words of this text. When Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You must ask yourself this morning, am I wheat or am I tare? Am I wheat producing that harvest, producing that grain? Or am I tare, a weed? We really have no part with God's people, no interest in the things of God. Keep in mind, for each of us here this morning, without exception, there is coming the day of harvest. There is coming the day of reaping. Are you prepared for that? Are you ready for that? May God bless His Word to us as we hear with our ears what He has to tell us. Please pray with me. Lord God, You know our hearts. Help us to know our own hearts. And I pray, Lord, that none of us here this morning have some kind of a fake hope or a fake security. But I pray that we will find ourselves resting in You, dependent upon Your grace for our salvation. Lord, I don't know the individual hearts here. I don't know the needs that are here. I am not able to separate the wheat from the weeds. And yet You know. You know the hearts of each person here. You know those who belong to Your kingdom and those who do not. But Lord, I pray that by Your Spirit You would touch each of our hearts this morning, that we may truly examine ourselves before You. And that we may ask ourselves, am I wheat or am I tare? Am I a son of the kingdom, of Your kingdom, or am I a son of the devil? And at the harvest time, where will I be? Thank You, Lord, that You rule and reign over Your field and over the church and in our hearts. Continue, Lord, to do that good work within us by Your Spirit. And we pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who does not belong to You, work in their hearts to bring them to Yourself. This we pray in Your Son's name. Amen.